Hello, this is the Toncast Corrections Department. In the last episode, where very special guest Todd Robert Anderson was discussing musician Darren Buck, he said the original name of Darren Buck's band, Professor Spoon, was Witch's Brew, but it is in fact Bitch's Brew, hence all the talk of the Jimi Hendrix references. We believe that very special guest Todd Robert Anderson made this mistake because of a local pub he enjoys going to with a beautiful, beautiful bartender named Tammy, and it is called the Witch's Brew. But because very special guest Todd Robert Anderson spends so much time at the Witch's Brew drinking his life away, he screwed up a simple fact. Like the fact that Professor Spoon was originally called Bitch's Brew. Okay? So I hope that smooths everything over. Everything's okay. Everybody who's been complaining can stop whining about it. You guys are a bunch of babies. Anyway, let's get on with the show. It's the Toncast, Hello, this is very special guest Todd Robert Anderson. Welcome to the Toncast. There is no host this week, which is strange because this is supposed to be the show where there's a different host every episode and the very special guest is always the same. But you know what? I don't really care because I'm so deeply and madly in love with myself that I will happily talk into a mic without the help of anyone else. And this gives me the opportunity to continue my series about musicians who've had a profound effect on my life. If you heard the last episode in this series, you heard me talk about my best friend from back home, Darren Buck, and his bands that he had in New York City. And this time I'm going to talk about a musician who goes by the name of Matt King. Now, he is not a close personal friend of mine, although I have had exchanges with him on Twitter. And from all appearances, this is a solid man, a gentleman, just a good guy. That's always great to find out that somebody whose art you appreciate is also really cool. His music is, at least his last four albums are, I guess they'd be classified as alternative country. Now, don't freak out if you're not a country music person. I know there's a lot of weird stuff about country music because of the whole red state, blue state thing, this oddly divided country at this point. I have long been a fan of country music myself. Classic country stuff, you know, Hank Williams and Johnny Cash and all those are the big guys, the classic guys. Modern country in general, I mean, I still enjoy some of it. You know, I can listen to like Alan Jackson, you know, and I've always enjoyed Randy Travis's voice, you know. But you know, as far as most of what gets played on the radio, the top 40 country stuff, not that into. So much of it these days is poppy. It's more poppy, and I lean towards, you know, it's like Shania Twain, right? A lot of auto tuning and all that. I'm not into that. It's dance country. Let's call it dance country. I'm not hugely into that. I'm more of a old school country or southern fried rock, you know, which often gets categorized as these days as this alternative country thing. Matt King, what he's been doing since I guess 08 is when his album called Rube came out. And it's this just hard-edged, and it's a little bit different than Southern Fried Rock. I don't want to... It's unclassifiable. And that's what's unfortunate about genres and marketing in modern music and sort of the corporate takeover of modern music is it's hard for someone who's got such a genuinely distinct voice. And I'm not just talking about his vocals. I'm talking about his music itself, his lyrics, his point of view. It's its own thing. So to classify it just seems almost unfair to me. But you got to sell music, and marketers need to figure out how to classify you so they can sell you, blah, blah, blah. So I get that. But this is – his music for me is – it is he currently he's my go-to guy for when I'm having a bad day, you know, or I had a good day and I just want to chill, you know, on the bed. There's a Delbert McClinton song called Sitting Here Watching It Rain, you know, when things you just kind of break even and you've made a little money and it was hell to make it, but you made it. So now you get to sit on your porch and watch it rain. So that sort of feeling is where I find I gravitate towards Matt King's music. Or if I just need to, I'm just angry at the world, you know, it's soul soothing music for me, which when you hear the music, you might be like, what? That soothes your soul? Because there's a very dark quality to his tunes. It's, there's so much of it that I think is, I mean, for me anyway, I'd love to hear his point of view. I would love to sit down with this guy and just talk to him over a few beers or whiskeys or whatever, and just figure out who he is, because his music just it's the first time I heard it, it just got right into me, and I can sit and listen to his music for hours on end, looping the same songs, you know, over and over again and not getting sick of them. And I don't think that there are too many musicians in any of our lives where that's the case. For me, Matt King is one of those guys. I never, ever tire of listening to his recordings. And what's kind of horrible is I've never seen him play live. And I would love to see him play live. But I live in Southern California. And he plays, you know, mostly in the Midwest and in the South, you know, Texas and stuff like that. And if I did, I swear if I didn't have a kid and a wife and responsibilities and all that shit, I would get in my car this weekend and go and drive to hear him play. I'm assuming he's playing this weekend. I don't really know because he doesn't play here. So I don't pay as much attention to his tour dates as someone who lives in his area. I did have an exchange with him on Twitter where I asked him if he ever played Southern California, and he says he has, but it's been a while. So I'm hoping that he gets out here, you know, or even Vegas. I could probably swing a Vegas trip. I don't even like Vegas, but I would go to Vegas just to hear this guy play. And my wife would be like, yeah, you should go listen to this guy play. But anyway, and to sit down and have beers with him would just, I would just love to find out as much as possible about where he's coming from, just because it, where he's coming from seems to be simpatico from where I'm coming from, as far as the emotion in his music and sort of the stamp. It's screams both independence and a disillusionment with the American dream, I think. I don't know. I would be curious if that I have no idea. I have no idea if that's what he means, but that's what I'm getting. I can't express to you enough how much I love this guy's music. Now, I discovered him in the strangest place. My wife and I, who are horror junkies, rented this movie called Trailer Park of Terror, which I have since bought simply because it's got it is, you know, for me, a memory, an important memory of discovering one of my favorite musicians. And the movie itself is okay. It's not the greatest thing. I like it for my own nostalgic reasons. It's an amusing enough low-budge movie. It wasn't as insane as I had hoped it would be, but it's still, for what it is, pretty amusing. But the music is killer, and there are a few songs by Matt King in the movie, and my wife and I, when one of them, there's like this creepy cowboy-type character who walks down the road, and maybe he's the devil, and maybe he's not, who knows, but there was this Matt King song playing. We didn't know who Matt King was, but we're like, this song is awesome. And his music has a lot of it has a creepy vibe to it too, which I like, but not like uber creepy like Nick Cave, where, you know, he goes into full horror. I mean, this is grounded. It feels like it's grounded in absolute reality, but he takes reality and he gives it this tinge of doom, not doom, but a feeling, almost a dreadful feeling at times. And that's not a negative thing at all. That is, this is awesome. I keyed into it right away. So we heard this song. We're like, that song's awesome. And we waited for the credits and we looked and said, Matt King. So we looked up Matt King and he had this album called Rube, which a couple of the songs from the movie were in. So I immediately ordered that thing off of Amazon. And you never know when you hear one song in a movie if you're going to get an album where that's an awesome song and the rest of the album is meh, you know. But I got this album and I could not stop listening to it. It played in a loop in my car over and over and over. It got me through more rush hours than I can count. And since then, he's recorded a few other albums. Most recently, he has a complete studio album called Apples and Orphans, which is great. It's just, I just, on my iPod, rather, I just add these albums in. And now, for me, they just play as one huge album on shuffle. And I just listen to it over and over again. It's all so good. So that's how I discovered him. And this Rube album is just, you know, amazing. And all of his albums that he's produced since then, it's just, I'm a huge fan of. I can't gush enough about this guy. And it's one of those things where I'm like, well, how is it that he is not huge? I mean, I know he has a good fan base and he plays a lot in the Midwest, but I feel like the guy should have a national following, and perhaps he does. I don't really know. He would be able to tell me, but he's got such a great sound and it's so cool. I'm not even making any sense anymore. I'm just gushing. And before I play, I'm going to play this song from the movie because I reached out to him via his website email and asked, hey man, can I have permission to play your tunes? Because I don't want to play artist tunes who aren't want that stuff just floating around on the internet. But he said, go ahead. You can play any of my songs that you want. And he said he was honored that I would talk about him on a podcast. But trust me, the honor is all mine that I get to talk about him and share this music. So this song is the song that introduced me to Matt King. And it's a song that's in this movie, Trailer Park of Terror. And it's killer. Okay. Just listen to it. See if you don't agree.
Things are awful wrong. Evil's cooking and it's smelling strong, but it's our business to mind your own. Ammonia burns the children's eyes. They're growing up scared to play outside. Pink flamingo stuck in the yard, and if it's pointing left, then it's full of cars. Something's cooking and it just ain't right. Hell's kitchen gonna burn tonight. Well, they used to make a living off of bathtub gin. When the hippie showed up, the weed was in. Well, they profit off of weakness and they always have. Now meth is a recipe for cold hard cash. Something's cooking and it just ain't right. Hell's kitchen gonna burn tonight. County's got a lot of hands, and every single one's got a gasoline can. The preacher and the sheriff gonna turn a blind eye just as soon as sparks start to fly. Something's cooking and it just ain't right. Hell's kitchen gonna burn tonight.
You know what I'm saying? And it works so well in a horror movie because it's just, it's a kind of threatening song. But the more I listen to it, and the more, because in the horror movie, it was just sort of an awesome sound. And the chorus was cool. But then I've listened to the song so many times. I don't know how many hundreds of times I've listened to this fucking song. But you know, now that I know what it's about, just like setting a town on fire because it's overrun with meth labs, I love that stuff. And I actually, the album Rube, I have this fantasy of one day having a budget to make my own, you know, $10 million, $20 million action picture that's driven by the music in Rube. And actually, not just Rube. Like, when I thought of the idea, it was, you know, Rube was the album I was listening to all the time. And I just had this progression of a story in my mind for this action movie. And it's sort of a – starts as a revenge movie about, you know, blowing up meth labs. And then it slowly becomes apparent to the – couple of guys or whatever who are getting this revenge on meth labs that there's a bigger bad guy who is, you know, and it would take place, this is crazy, I don't know why I'm explaining this to you, but it would take place, it would be its own world, you know, it'd be like a John Carpenter type situation where the world, it's a world unto itself, you know, they live, it's somewhat familiar, but it exists in its own, you know, its own parallel universe. But it's just and you can have the whole class system of the United States sort of represented in this small town. And there's a rich guy on top of the hill who sort of governs over everything and is secretly funneling money into meth labs and all that stuff to keep all the people who the working class and the poor just fighting amongst each other. So they don't notice how much money he's just raking in from their slavery. You know, that's my concept. Then it's it's essentially just, you know, blowing stuff up, and fights and gunfights and all that. But driven by this music, it would be awesome. It would be an awesome movie. I'm telling you, it may sound not well fleshed out right now, and that's fine. You can judge me, but don't judge the music, because, you know, it would be so good. Just this whole movie driven by Matt King's music. And at the time it was just Rube, but he released another album called Raw, and then an EP, Matt King and the Cutters. And then most recently, this Apples and Orphan, all these songs, like I could just pluck songs from each of these albums to just drive the movie. You know, it's sort of like what they did with Simon and Garfunkel in The Graduate, except this is badass. It's not, you know, sentimental and sweet and ironic. It's just like rah. It would be so good. That's all I'm saying. It would be so good as a action movie. His music would just drive an action movie, as it did drive this horror movie, Trailer Park of Terror. I mean, it elevated the feeling of the movie, you know? So after I heard Rube, which I adored this album, and I went and immediately looked him up and saw that he had two other albums that were produced way earlier, and I was really curious. So I bought him outright. I mean, that's how much I like this guy, is just bought him. And they're very different from Rube and the stuff that he's recorded after, because it's not alternative country, you know, in quotes. It is country music. It's pure classic country sounding music. But it is the kind of country music I dig. It's not like the overproduced stuff. But it was different. Not a disappointment, just different. Although the stuff he's doing now is the stuff that I love. But I wanted to play this tune from, I believe it's, he's got the two albums that came before Rube. One's called 5 o'clock Hero and one's called Hard Country. And this one I believe is from, 5 o'clock Hero. Yes, it's from 5 o'clock Hero. I really dig it. It's called Pray for Hardwood. And the cool thing about this song is it is has more of a classic country sound, like I said, but it's sort of, it's a nice foreshadowing to the stuff that he's making now. Give it a listen.
I was taught by a trader who broke the rules. A whiskey sage on an old bar stool. He said,
it's not where you've been or what you've been through. It's how you live and your point of view.
He was the wisest man that I ever knew. Said all I needed was God and truth.
You don't need fire to fuel the flame. You can get burned in a pouring rain.
Cause the ice in the glass won't cool the burn. If you stand in line too long, you lose your turn. He said these words as if I understood. Son, pass the pain, pray for hardwood. Crazy old man, just a drunken fool, but every word was tried and true.
A waste of you don't amount to much. You can't bottle the truth, you turn dreams to dust.
And the greatest gift I was ever given was knowing the difference between life and living.
Existence for a day of hope. One's for here, the other one's up.
Cause the ice in the glass won't cool the burn. If you stand in line too long, you lose your turn. He said these words as if I understood. Son, pass the pain, pray for hardwood.
words as if I understood. Son, pass the pain and pray for hardwood. Cause the ice in the glass won't cool the burn. And if you stand in line too long, you lose your turn. He said these words as if I understood. Son, pass the pain and pray for hardwood. Pray for hardwood.
I mean, even though the sound of Pray for Hardwood, again, is classic country, you can hear in its sentiment, I guess, the sort of beginnings of disillusionment, you know? And so much of what he did with Rube Raw and his Matt King and the Cutters EP and now Apples and Orphans, so much of it, I don't know, so much of it speaks to the state of our union, of the United States of America, and the realities of the American dream, and the truth of how our system works, how capitalism is kind of spiraled down a little bit and is not making as much sense as it used to. I'm not, you know, anti-capitalism, and, you know, I don't know that he is either. I'm just saying the way the class structure has turned out. And I think most of it is because, not so much because of capitalism itself, but because that capitalism gave birth to the corporation, and corporations have changed our lives so much and kind of rule over us in a not necessarily healthy way. But again, I would love to sit down with this guy and have some beers and find out if I'm way off base in my interpretation of his stuff. So that's Pray for Hardwood. Now, this American Dream thing that I'm talking about, there is a song on Rube. And let me say this too. It's because he said I can use whatever song. I'd like to pick songs, like a small handful of songs to exemplify. It's so hard. I mean, seriously, I could pick all of his songs and just talk for 8 hours in between each song and how much I like each song. But, you know, and for the sake of time, I gotta pick. I gotta be hardcore with my choices here. So this next song is called American Dream. And this is why I think probably my interpretation of his music is at least close, because this song is super heartbreaking. Because a lot of his music is hard. It's hard sounding music. It's rock edged. You know, it's not. I guess that's what alternative country is much of the time. It's country with more of a rock edge. I think he goes further than that. I think this is, you know, sometimes it's just real, just straight up rock and roll, I think. But this song is, you know, kind of a mellower song, but it's so heartbreaking, so heartbreaking. And well, yeah, I'm talking too much here's American Dream.
To this boiler room, it's hotter than hell. I hope the bell rings soon. Lost on an assembly line, but it's either here or Van Leer's mine. The devil doesn't need to use an axe to split the night or break my back. He steals my sleep with fear and loss. A hungry woman and an angry boss. Look at this face, it won't come clean. And tell me if you've seen the American Dream. gives me a boozy kiss, and I can taste the longing on her lips. Like a needle slides right through the vein, we do what it takes to kill the pain. Look at this face, it won't come clean. And tell me if you see the American dream. Said, let my people go. And Parsons swears he's gonna save my soul. The boss man says, can't you see that death's the only thing that's gonna set you free? Look at this face, it won't come clean. These busted hands and all slick jeans. Look through.
I mean, the images in this song, the busted hands, oil slick jeans, and tell me, look in my eyes and tell me if you see the American dream. I mean, that is condemning. It's condemning of a system. I mean, that's the way it sounds to me. And, you know, when I say this music soothes my soul, it's because I think, you know, there's a kindred spirit in this guy to where I am. And my particular chosen artistic profession doesn't necessarily allow me to be that honest and forthright with my feelings all the time. I mean, I'm pretty much an open book, but you know, when you're acting, you can't communicate necessarily your political views. That's not what it's about. But that's what's cool about music is and I have no musical ability at all. I'm purely a music fanboy. You know what I mean? I do karaoke. It's embarrassing. Sounds awful. But I don't care. I'm just having fun. The amazing thing about music is you can just crunch all this emotion and feeling about not just personal stuff, but and that's another thing about Matt King that I like. And there's some very personal stuff in his albums, but so much of his point of view is about a larger scale thing, you know, about the world. I mean, there's those cliches about country music. You know, there was that old SNL sketch with John Larroquette where he's a country musician and all he sings about is, you know, drinking or, you know, breaking up with women. You know, it was a funny sketch, but that's Matt King's music isn't that. It's about something much larger, and I dig that. I really dig it. And it's not preachy music on any level. You can sit and listen to it and just hang out and drink whiskey, and you can bop your head to it, and it works on that sort of visceral level, but deep in it is there's so much richness. It just goes so deep. And I don't know. I connect to it. I mean, it's like when I was in college, the album that got me through college was actually Paul Simon's Rhythm of the Saints. You know, whenever things weren't going well, I would put that on and it would put me in the right place. And it wasn't, that was the last time that I found an album that in its entirety could put me in a place. And then I found Rube, 20 years later, and it put me in the right place. And for my age and all, you know, my life experience and all that stuff, it puts me in the right place. And it makes me feel, this is what it is. It makes me feel less alone in my perspective of the world. And I don't know. Maybe that's trouble for Matt King. Maybe that's why he's not huge, as I feel he should be. I feel like he should be a huge star. I don't feel like, because when I contacted him about music and he said, yeah, use it, and he did it right away. It was like, I emailed him yesterday and an hour later, he's like, yeah, go. And for one, that speaks volumes about what a cool guy he is, but it also is aggravating to me because it shouldn't be that easy for some arbitrary fan to get at it. There should be walls of people protecting him from people like me. He should be communicating through several layers of middle management. Of course, that would kind of go against the spirit of his music, but you know what I mean? I think this guy should be huge. So I'm going to leave Rube. I'm going to come back to Rube, but I'm going to leave Rube and talk about, I'm going to play this song, and it's called Circling the Drain. And that is on, I believe it's on Raw. Yes, it's on the album Raw. And it's, again, it's another condemning song. But the other thing that happens to me when I listen to these, depending on the place I'm in, you know, it's either like a song like this, The Circle in the Drain, which is just about, sort of about apathy, and American apathy. And some days I'm like, actually, I am this guy who's just circling the drain. And other days I'm fighting it, and it feels more like a song about how we're all circling the drain, no matter who's fighting it, if that makes sense. Listen to this song, see what you think.
Well, my head's on fire and my heart's a wreck while I'm waiting on the nicotine to take effect. Smoking ain't a sin, but memories kill, so I numb the pain with another cheap thrill. The doctor tells me nothing's wrong. I asked my baby, but she's still gone. I got a bottle, it's full of distraction. My engine's broke, I'm needing some action. Circling the drain. And I couldn't care less what the headlines read about the East, the West, or Wall Street's greed. My two cents has no effect on the price of oil or the national debt. I'm overworked and I'm underpaid. I'm spending money I haven't made. I owe the man every nickel I borrow. Buy today and drown tomorrow. Circling the drain. Brother, I'm the bug that's falling in the sea. Hanging on the edge, standing on the brain. It seems like life just pulled the plug on me. Well, I'm high and dry till the moon gets full, and then I dive back in when I feel the pull. Maybe I've gotten good at denial, but if I'm gonna go down, I'm gonna go with a smile. Seven deadlies or the devil himself, I'll blame anyone but myself. Going under, out with the tide. But hey, babe, it's a hell of a ride when you're circling the drain.
You know what I mean? And do you know what I mean when I'm saying his music has this sort of, not creepy, it's not the word, I'm not, my communication skills are really bad today. I'm really sleepy. You guys, I'm really fucking tired. I'm sleepy. But his, creepy is not the right word, but it's got this aura of, it's almost threatening. Does that make sense? You know, I don't know. It puts you on edge. But at the same time, its truth sort of has an almost pacifying effect at the same time for me. Not pacifying, but it evens me out. You know, when you're in a mood and you can't quite focus and you're all crazy and shit's going down. And then if you listen to the right tunes, it evens you out and it makes you realize, it puts things into perspective. That's what I'm saying here. It can put my life into perspective just listening to this guy's music. So in the vein of a threatening kind of vibe, is this song that I really dig. And it's called, We Take Care of Our Own. And, again, this would be a good opening tune for my movie inspired by Matt King's music. Listen to this.
There's no tractors around here, no electricity. We got horses, mules, and chickens, tobacco, corn, and wheat. We wear black on Sunday. The bishop belts the word of God. He points a crooked finger and says, keep your plow in your own sod. Somebody gets a beating. Somebody hides a beer. Somebody's little sister's dress is torn and she's in tears. The police come a knock. We break bread and we send them home. Close the doors and then we lock them. 'Cause round here we take care of our own. We turn and look away. Thou shalt have no graven image, lest you burn on judgment day. The windmill pumps the water, the good Lord fills the soul. The devil builds a fire, and the bishop shovels coal. Somebody gets a beating. Somebody hides a beer. And somebody's little sister's dress is torn. She's in tears. The police come a knocking. We bake bread and we send them home. Secret. Somebody gets a beat.
Right? You get what I'm saying. It's sort of, I don't know. There's a kind of scary element to that song. It's just, you know, and I would be interested, is he reflecting, you know, places where he grew up, places he's been, how personal is this stuff that has this element of, you know, seclusion, and you know, if you come to this town, you may not get out alive if you misstep. You know, I wonder how much of that is his observation of things that he's seen versus actual life experience, or if it's so emotionally impactful because, you know, he's lived these things or found himself in certain types of trouble. And there's so much of the American dream that's always been about, I want to get out of this small town and be somebody, you know, or, you know, I just want to escape this shithole that I'm living in. And there's so many songs that have that. There's one, I'm not going to play it because I don't have time, but there's one called Cursing the Ohio off of Rube, which is, it's just great song about a woman who's in a totally abusive marriage and she takes matters into her own hands. It's such a good tune. But here's another song, and this one is off his EP, Matt King and the Cutters EP, that is more purely about, you know, being in a bad situation, in a bad place, and wanting to get out. But it's got this undertone of, you probably can't, you probably won't.
skin drifter.
It ain't that wild, but Lord, it's deep. Better watch your step, the banks are steep. Best give up.
Thing too, the American dream. I mean, so much of my growing up into adulthood is about me being disillusioned with the American dream, and I think that's very easy to. It's easy for that to happen to an artist because, you know, especially an actor, but musicians too. I mean, although the with musicians they can create these songs and recordings, and even if they don't become huge successes and make millions of dollars off of their music, they still have this music, this artistic body of work that represents them purely. You know, it's art representing an individual in its purest state. You know, acting is a different, it's a different ball of wax. Acting and performances and all that is so fleeting and it disappears so quickly. But songs, you know, are it's like a piece of fine art or a sculpture or something that you can turn to. And I'm getting some kind of phone call. I apologize for the interruption.
Very much in love with you. There is 1-2-1.
Oh,
take advantage of this promotion.
Oh, it's a promotion. That's so That's so great that I'm being telemarketed by an automaton while talking about Matt King and my take on the American dream. What great timing. What great timing. But what I was saying about, you know, it's very easy to become disillusioned with the American dream if you're an artist. I mean, musicians now are getting screwed left and right as far as money is concerned. The corporations take all the money and the musicians get nothing. It used to be that musicians would make a ton of money off of album sales, but now they don't. Your albums are just promotional material. You make your money playing. Which is really interesting to me given how much pop music is auto-tuned and the live versions can't possibly be as good, which is another reason I appreciate artists like Matt King, is because – and I haven't seen him play live, but I know the guy is going to rip it up when I finally get to see him live. It's not – it's there's not going to be any bullshit. It's going to sound good. And I'm also interested, you know, does this guy, you know, riff on the songs? Is there jamming off of these songs? Like what? Oh God, I just, one of these days I gotta see this guy come to Southern California. Jesus Christ. Just get out here, man. For me, it's about me. But anyway, it's, back to the American dream thing. It's easy to get a disillusioned with it, especially as an artist. But I just, from my perspective, just the things that they sell, you know, as far as the American dream goes, you know, you work hard, you have tenacity, you have talent, all that stuff, and you can break through and be what exactly? Well, you can be part of the top 2%. Which, by the way, is mathematically impossible. There are a lot of people who work hard and are talented and have tenacity who never get there. But that is the American dream. That's what they sell us, as far as I can tell. And the math doesn't work. And two, like, what are you fighting for? You're fighting to be essentially part of the problem. You know, you're fighting to be the wealthiest, one of the wealthiest people in the world, and thus secluded and out of touch with the rest of humanity. Like, what is the point? I just want new windows on my house, you guys. I don't need a mansion. I just want windows that don't have cracks in them. And I need exterior paint, but these things are expensive. They're expensive, you know? I'd like to convert my garage, too, to like a nice office and rec room kind of deal. Maybe have a little bar in there. That'd be nice. That'd be nice. Anyway, I get off track. They got us all fighting for this American dream, which I think doesn't necessarily exist. It certainly doesn't anymore. I mean, my generation, which was called Generation X, it's a terrible name, but we were told as kids there's no way you can do as well as your parents did financially. And I would say for most of the people in my generation, that's absolutely true. So my generation... which were accused of being apathetic, but I don't think that's really true. I think because most of my friends aren't apathetic. We're all fighting the good fight, and we're creating and we're making things for as audiences as small as three. Not very many people listen to this podcast, and I still do it, you know, because and half the time I don't even know why. Half the time I'm not even sure what the hell to say. Half the time I don't even know what my point of view is. I'm a 40-year-old man, and I'm more lost now than I ever was. When I was a kid, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I knew exactly what I wanted to be. Now that I'm 40 and I've seen all this stuff, I'm not even sure what the hell I want anymore outside of, you know, some very simple things. You know, school for my kid, food, fixing up my house, stuff like that. I don't want power. I don't want a massive amount of power. I don't want to be able to say yes or no to everybody. I don't want everything I say to come to fruition. You know, I look back on a lot of the things that I wanted to come to fruition, and I look at it and go, well, that was stupid. But I think that sort of disillusionment with the American dream, the reality of the American dream, what it really is, what it really represents, Matt King nails it in his music. He really does. And that's what Blood River was there. And also just corporate infrastructure. And we hear all the stories. You hear the stories. There's documentaries, you know, and movies and all kinds of stuff about corporate shit. Corporations poisoning people. Corporations screwing people out of their livelihood. Corporations sending jobs overseas. Corporations and, you know, and at this point, certain unions screwing our education system. And, you know, and I like the idea of unions, but a lot of times, you know, when something gets too big, it gets impossible to control. And I think that's what corporations are. And certainly teachers' unions have screwed up our education system. But also our government doesn't pour a lot of money, you know, our taxes, not enough if it goes into education. But I don't want to get off on an education. What I'm trying to say is, Matt King nails a lot of these things that I'm poorly explaining in his music, simply, clearly. And here is a song about that very thing, about, you know, maybe these are the end times because they're dumping poison into our food and our water and our forests and everything else. This one's called Mercury in the Water.
Mercury in the water, acid in the air. Every time it rains, mama says a prayer. The stove is choked with soot, her son don't have a father. There's acid in the air, mercury in the water. There's acid in the air, mercury in the water. The milk is drying up. Slaughter, jaundice on the crops, baby needs a doctor. Crow at the window says there's mercury in the water. What's happening here is hell is getting hotter. You know the end of days are near when there's mercury in the water. Their hands upon him.
year after. She boarded up the windows, her sin won't be remembered. She burned down the altar, now she's dancing in the cinders. What's happening here is hell is getting hotter. You know the end of days are near when there's mercy in the water. There's mercy.
So you see what I'm saying about that. But now, see, now I feel like I've talked too much about Matt King and his sort of takedown of the American dream, because there's more to it than that. And my wife is also a huge fan of Matt King's. It's one of those, you know, I have my musicians that I listen to. She has her musicians that she listens to. And we have enough, there's enough crossover appeal that we can enjoy each other's music. But if I want to listen to nothing but Matt King, because, you know, sometimes I want to listen to nothing but, I don't know, fucking Steely Dan or something. And my wife, not into that. Or Ben Folds or something like that. And, you know, she can take a few songs here and there of that stuff, but it can't be nothing but. But if I want to go nothing but Matt King, my wife will go for it. Her favorite song is a song called Eden's Apple, which is, I just, for my money, is an awesome love song. And it's sort of about, you know, the lyrics of the song, you know, are basically saying, I don't want to be forgiven. I have tasted Eden's apple. There's the venom is running through my veins. And I don't want to be forgiven. I want to be in love with you regardless of the sin involved. And I love that. That just flying in the face of, you know, God or whatever you consider to be a supernatural power who can punish you for being wrong. It's like, fuck it and fuck that and fuck you, God. I am so in love and in lust with this woman that that's it. This is it. And my wife loves that song. Now, this is gross. I'm a 40-year-old man. I'm a curly-haired ginger. And I know you don't want to hear this stuff from me, but, and Matt, you know, I apologize in advance for this. It's probably going to gross you out, but Matt King, this song in particular, but his music in general is good fucking music. And I don't mean it's good fucking music. I mean, it's good music to fuck to. It's good music to fuck to. I don't know how else to put that. And I apologize. I know it sounds disgusting. I'm a married man. Who wants to think about me having sex? You know, it's gross. But that's the truth of it. This is good music to fuck to, as well as drink whiskey to, as well as bop your head to. This is good music to fuck to. And this song is my wife's absolute favorite, and it's one of my favorites. And it's just, for me, for my money, one of the best love songs ever recorded. Here it is, Eden's Apple.
Girl, if you're the cure, give me the needle. Lonely setting in, and my heart's in bad condition. Come on, girl, give in and feed my addiction. I have taken
kill the pain. So tempt me with a whisper and tease me with a touch and cut me with those kisses and let me bleed your love. 'Cause I have the bite still burns. I've lost the battle, and now only love can kill the pain. I know that it's forbidden, but my soul bears your name. I don't want to be forgiven, 'cause I have tasted Eden's apple, and there's venom in my veins. The bite still burns. I've lost the battle, and now kill the pain.
Only your love can kill the pain, you know? It's love as heroin. It's love as a drug, man. It's an addiction. That's some potent shit, you guys. That's some potent shit, you guys. The Eden's Apple should be played at every wedding, I think. Any wedding that's fun. If I had discovered this song in time for our wedding, which was 12 years ago, we would have played, for all I know, it would have been our song. We went with a Mark Cohn song, beautiful song. But I think now, if we got married, if we renew our vows and we have a big party, I guarantee you Eden's Apple will be our wedding, our re-wedding song. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm considering filing for divorce just so we can rekindle the romance and get married again. And Eden's Apple will be our wedding song. How about that? Actually, that sounds really costly. In any event, my wife and I quite frequently put on Eden's Apple and we dance together to it. And then sometimes that leads to some good old fashioned fucking marital fucking. Sorry to gross you out. I can't imagine what it must be like to be a musician and suddenly have that information. Oh, this guy fucks on my music? Ugh. Like, it's cool if, like, a hot chick says, I love fucking your music. It's like, yeah, all right, that's good. But some middle-aged guy from L.A., gross. Sorry about that, Matt. If you ever listen to this, I apologize. But I'm talking truth here. So I'm going to round this sucker out with another one. And again, I get go on iTunes, download his songs, get hard copies of his albums. Do whatever you got to do to listen to this outside of this podcast. And if you ever get the chance to see him play, please go and bootleg it for me and send me the video, because I got to see this guy play. His music is, you know, like I say, it's soothing to my soul. I am not alone in the world. There is a great musician who's, you know, he's killing me softly with his words. You know, he's singing my whole life with his words. He's killing me softly, except it's not soft. It's hard and it rocks. So this next song is and the final song before the end of the podcast is one of my favorites, and it also is on it, I believe it was in Trailer Park of Terror, at least on the soundtrack. But I always loved this song, and it's got these great backup vocals. And the end of the song, spoiler alert, end of the song, there's like a long pause, and then you get this last shoop. And it's such a good, and it's the last song on Rube, and it's just such the perfect way to end an album that kicks ass like that, you know? And it comes after two just hard edged, it comes after, there's Hell's Kitchen. Actually, the end of the album, gosh, there's so many songs. I could just play the whole, it's such a good song. It's frustrating to have to pick just a few songs. But the end of the album is, you got Eden's Apple, the song I played, Hell's Kitchen, the first song I played. Then this other song, Bristol, which is sort of a nice, companion song to Hell's Kitchen, which I think if I'm not crazy, Bristol, that song was in Eastbound and Down, an episode of Eastbound and Down, which is a fun show. But another kick-ass song. And then so the end of Bristol is just like a hard driving, and you'll hear sort of the end of it, because it's tagged onto the front awaiting at the bottom, and then it just stops, and then you get this other cool, quieter song, but that has this vibe to it of, hey, and I love the sentiment, you know. It's like, you go out, you do what you gotta do, but when things are shitty, I'll be here, and you always come back, don't you? You always come back to see me, because everybody winds up at the bottom every now and again. So this is Waiting at the Bottom, and remember, you gotta wait for it. You gotta wait for that shoop at the end. Don't get impatient. Just wait for it.
How you doing?
Shoop.
Where you been hiding? I wondered when
Shoop.
You'd be arriving. It's good to see
Shoop.
That you're getting out again. I know it's hard
Shoop.
Out in the trenches. Looks like you finally
Shoop.
Came to your senses.
Shoop.
When your world came crashing in.
Shoop.
Sit down, relax,
Shoot.
Take your time. Have some smoke,
Shoot.
Have some wine. Let me help,
Shoot.
It's what I'm here to do. I'll be your secret,
Shoot.
I'll be your lover. In the dark,
Shoot.
Down in the gutter, I've been waiting. Waiting at the bottom for you.
Shoot.
Pay no mind
Shoot.
To that voice inside. inside. Same old song, same old life. There's nothing left to prove. Take comfort in where you are. Down here you can't fall too far. When you do, I'll be waiting for you.
So that's it. So that's me yammering about Matt King, who, again, I can't express enough how much I love this guy's music. I'm probably coming off a bit like a sycophant. I'm not that kind of, I'm a regular guy. I'm a down to earth guy. I would never, be obsessive about a musician, but I listen to this guy's music all the time, and it just means a lot to me that he's recording this stuff, and that I found it, and that it gets me in the right place. Feels good. It feels good. And one other, if I ever am rich or run into a bunch of money, hit the lottery or something stupid like that, which I don't really play the lottery, so it's going to be very hard to win. I'm going to go buy a ticket. I'm going to go get a ticket for the Super Lotto or something. Mega Millions. Because, that's not a waste of money. But if I ever did run into a bunch of money and I had and I fixed up my house, I was done with all that stuff, and I just had money to blow, disposable income, the first thing I'll do is hire him and his band and fly him out here, and they will play in my yard. And I don't even know if I'm gonna invite anybody. I may just listen to him on my own, but I'll probably invite some people because I gotta hear this guy play. Anyway, I hope you get it. I hope you get the Matt King the way I get the Matt King. And I can't recommend his music enough. His albums are 5 O'Clock Hero, Hard Country, Rube, Raw, Matt King and the Cutters, which is an EP, and Apples and Orphans. I think most of them are available on iTunes. You can go on his website, mattking.com, Google him, get it. Get this stuff. It's so good, you guys. It's so good. As is this closing theme to the Toncast. Wait for it.
Shoot.